You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I will start a series. I've actually been praying about this for quite some time, several months, knowing I was going to go this direction at some point, and finally got a release to do this. So I'm going to start a series, nothing I hadn't taught on before, but you know, it's something we need to remind ourselves of, go back over again. And it's a series on God's financial plan. In other words, prosperity God's way. What the Bible says about finances, what the Bible says about money. Now, I think most of us, when we think about money and Bible, we think tithe and giving. And the Bible does say that. There's no question. It teaches along those lines. But the Bible also talks about work. It talks about borrowing, co-signing, some to do, some don't. It talks about investing. Talks about savings. Talks about budgeting. Oh, there's that word, budgeting. Budget's not a mystery. It's just telling your money where to go as opposed to wondering where it went. Amen. Did you know at the end of the month when you run out of money, you know what happened to it? You spent it. But without a budget, you just don't know where you spent it. That's all. So all a budget is just it's just writing it down, you know, ahead of time and allotting it and categorizing it and keeping up with what you've done and what you're going to do. And it's not a bad thing. Budgeting does work. Some people say, well, budgets don't work for me. No, you don't work budgets. That's budgets work, okay? So don't say that. Don't buy that lie, okay? Because budgets do work. Y'all know how far you live from church? You know how long it takes to get here? You know what time you got to leave to get here on time? Now, I know some of you are lying because you don't get here on time. But anyway, but you know what I'm trying to say here. You know how far it is to work? You know how long it takes to get to work? You know what time you got to leave to get there on time? That's just budgeting. That's all that is. You know you got so many hours in a day. You got so many minutes in an hour. Isn't that right? And you start at a certain time, and it takes a certain time to get to a certain place. And so you budget that out, and you do what we call leave on time. Okay? And arrive on time. Well, we do it every day. We budget all the time. We just don't like to apply it to money because that actually shows us who the enemy is, and he is us. We got to change that. But anyway, the Bible talks about budgeting. It talks about borrowing and co-signing. It talks about savings and investing. It talks about budgeting. It talks about all those things. It talks about tithes. Talks about offer. Talks about work. Woohoo! That four-letter word, work. Talks about that. And when it talks about finances, it entails a whole lot more than just, say, giving and just tithing. That's part of what we do. In fact, I've honored God when I tithe. I believe that. And I honor God when I give. I believe that. But did you know I honor God when I pay my bills? Yep. Woo, got quiet in here. Goodness. In fact, it's honorable to do what we signed a contract that we would do. Pay a payment, pay a bill, and so on. That's honoring God is what it is. So it honors God when we go to work. I'm honoring God when I work hard on a job. I'm working as unto the Lord, not just to a person. So all that's honorable, we tend to think that just spiritual things are like, well, it's like I gave a prophecy a while ago. Well, that's spiritual, you know. Or the anointing came in, and that, thank God for it when we worship. That's spiritual. But really, our whole life is spiritual. And everything we do has a spiritual implication or a spiritual consequence, as it were. And so, you know, why would somebody listen to me stand up here and preach when I'm just lying all day long and never pay my bills and never, are you with me? Yeah. And can't depend on me. I never do what I say, but I get up here and preach every Sunday. Well, see, my life's more than just this segment of time, just this Sunday morning and just Wednesday night. My life is more than all that. Even concerning deacons, the Bible says that they need to have a good report of those that are without, those that are outside the church. And there's nothing to me that's it's more counterproductive than a church that's in debt all the time and never pays the bills and never does what they say. I mean, the church should be a place pristine in that area. I mean, the church ought to be a place where it's got their bills paid. On top of reaching out to the community, not trying to get money from the community, but trying to make an impact and a deposit into the community. So that's turning it all around, amen? Doing things like food bank, Hallelujah Night, missions, hello, providing services for the community. That's what we should be doing. But to do that, we have to prosper. Prosper is a good word. It's not a bad word. Prosperity is one that God wants all of us to prosper. He doesn't want any of us to remain poor or to remain in debt or indebted. He wants us to get out of debt, get out of poverty, and get into prosperity, because we can do more with prosperity than we can without. And the world doesn't need the money. They're going to misuse and abuse it. You're the church. I'm the church. We're going to do the right thing with it. We're going to turn gold into souls. We're going to help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. We're going to reach out to the poor people with food. We're going to reach out around the world and support missions. We're the ones that are going to do that. The world's not going to do that. We're going to do that. So if anybody needs to get a hold of this thing, we need to. Amen? We need to get a hold of this thing called prosperity and let God prosper us. We need to watch greed. We need to watch pride and arrogance and all those things. And that's what God addresses in the scripture, and people misapply that. And I'm going to kick over some sacred cows today, if that'd be okay with you. Kick over some sacred cows. We've heard traditionally, religiously, and in church about money. Hey, money's the root of all evil. Well, the scripture doesn't say that. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy 6. Which is 1 Timothy 6, yeah. Not 1 Corinthians. 1 Timothy 6. Y'all ready to kick over some cows? Now, the problem, when I start kicking over sacred cows, by the time I'm through, we got a herd piled up, you know. Because we all have these little sacred cows. You know, we hear these little religious sayings, and, you know, we should never ask for anything for ourselves, you know. I don't ever pray for me. I just pray for everybody else. Well, the problem with that is that's unscriptural. You're supposed to pray for yourself and pray for others. Sounds pious, but it's just not what Jesus said. He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. Wow. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door be open unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, find. Everyone that knocketh, the door be open unto him. Matthew 7:7-8. I mean, come on, Jesus is very plain about asking, but he wants your heart right. He doesn't want you to get greedy. He doesn't want you to get, you know, proud or arrogant about it, or lustful about it. And that's what some of these scriptures deal with, the heart, not the money. Money's just money's just that. It's just money. If you hold up a dollar bill here, or a 20, or a 100, or whatever, and hold it up, it has no mind. It has no ability to do anything in and of itself. Now, there's a lot of things might go through your mind when I hold up a 100 like that. You know, like mug me in a parking lot, or whatever. Now, I know you wouldn't do that. Stay with me. I mean, you can think of all kinds of things to do with that, but that's in your heart and in your mind. That's not in the piece of paper. That's just you go to a foreign country, they got other pieces of paper. Are you with me? They got different denominations and different, they call it different things. It's pounds over in England, it's rupees in India, and dinar in Iraq, and you know, it just goes on, and pesos and in Mexico, and, you know, it just has different names, and it looks totally different. But it's part of their monetary system, and you take that and you go buy things with it. You can go buy wrong things or right things. You can buy drugs, or you can go help poor people. But that's in your heart. That's not in that piece of paper. Well, I got to stay away from money. Money's evil. Well, the Bible does not say that, and that makes no sense anyway to start with. Are you out there? 1 Timothy 6, y'all found it? 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money, everybody say love. Okay, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. You know who the richest man in the Bible was? Solomon. You know who made him rich? God. Go read it. I mean, it's real plain. God's the one that made him rich. So did God give him something that was going to corrupt him? No, whatever corruption Solomon had in his life was his own fault. In fact, if you want to know really what it was all those women. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. One woman's enough. All you women ought to agree with me on this point, okay? He just had too many. He had like 700 concubines and 300 wives. I mean, come on. Goodness gracious. Are you kidding me? Did you hear? You hear Mama talking about her kids up here? That's why I am faithful to Brenda. I fear Brenda. And I fear God, you know. But he started building all these, he built temples he'd make these political marriages, Solomon would. He'd marry the king of Tyre's daughter and the king of Egypt's, you know, Pharaoh's daughter. And he would let them continue to worship their gods, and he would actually build temples for their gods. That's where he messed up. It wasn't the money that he had, because God's the one that blessed him with the money. We're going to get into that later, maybe not today, but one point. So it says here, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which some, having coveted it after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money, it didn't say money was the root of all evil. It didn't say having money caused them to err from the faith. It says loving money and coveting after money. See, you can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you. It's not your possessions that God's concerned about. It's what possesses you that he's concerned about. That makes sense? So we get all hung up sometimes on possessions, but really, it doesn't matter how many possessions we have, as long as they don't possess us. It doesn't matter what we have, as long as it doesn't have us. In fact, our church is for our size and our community, is a prosperous church. I mean, we've got almost 45 acres here. It's paid for. We've got buildings all over the property that are paid for. Got concrete's paid for, and Glenn Henderson's very happy about that. And, amen. We're going to pour more concrete. We're going to pay for it. We're going to pay cash for it. Hallelujah. And everything we do, we're paying cash for. And see, we got a lot of stuff, but see, that stuff doesn't have us. In fact, we're using that stuff and all this stuff to help people. That's why we have Hallelujah Night out here in the food ministry, and that's why we support missions all over the world. I mean, money is to promote the gospel with. And we believe in God prospering us and blessing us with money, but our heart's right concerning that. We're not just trying to get more stuff. We're trying to reach more people. We're trying to be an impact to our community and a light for the world to see how good God is. Hallelujah. Let people know they have hope and help and healing. Amen. And we're reaching out to the community. So here he's addressing the heart of the problem, which is your attitude, not your possessions. Are you out there? You can have a nice home. What's wrong with that? And paid for it. What's wrong with that? You can have nice cars. Who cares? I mean, if your heart's right and you're helping people. Amen. You know, I think there were some great men, financial giants, as it were, if you go through history and you study this. Kraft, the guy that started Kraft Foods, by the time he passed away, he was giving away 90% of his income and living off 10%. He believed in tithing. He always tithed. And when his business started growing, he started increasing. He just started giving 20%. And then he started giving 30%. Then he started giving 40%. Then he started. He had so much money, goodness, he couldn't use it all. So he was giving 90% of his personal income away. Think about that. And just living off 10. J.C. Penney was a tither. R.G. Letourneau was a tither. If you ever read about his biography, how he believed in tithing and honoring the Lord, these were Christians that believed in God. And God began to bless their business, and they just began to increase what they gave. Now, you can say, oh, they were lusting after money. No, they weren't. They were gifted by God to make money, and they went out and made money to help people with it. Woo! Are you out there, somebody? So, now notice what it says. It doesn't say money. It says the love of money. Big difference, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, not having money. If while you have your Bibles there, turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 actually talks a lot about the heart. In everything that it discusses there, it talks about giving to the poor, talks about fasting, talks about prayer, but it always talks about the heart. It talks about praying in your closet, you know, not making a big show of it. It talks about giving in private, secretly to people. That means poor people. He wasn't talking about tithing. He wasn't talking about building offerings. He's talking about gifts to the poor. And he said, when you do that, you ought to not let your left hand know what your right hand do, and do it in secret, and your Father which sees in secret rewards you openly. And he wasn't talking about a building offering. He wasn't talking about a tithe, because we know that the widow gave 2 mites. He knew exactly what she gave. He was standing back watching people put money in the box when they went into the synagogue. And in the Old Testament, when they built the temple, David stood up and says, I'm going to give this amount of money. And it records what the elders gave. It gives you exact amounts and so on and so forth. That was a building offering. But now when we're helping a poor person, us individually helping a poor person, we don't announce that in the sense that we, you know, hey, I gave this much money to so-and-so. He's sitting right over there. You know, well, first of all, you embarrass the person. And you got your reward, too, because you just told everybody what you just did. Are you with me? Are you out there? And so he's talking about a specific kind of offering when you're giving to a poor person, not knowing what your left hand, right hand does. So he talks about your heart all through that 6th chapter. And he goes on down, he says this, notice in the 24th verse. He says, no man can serve 2 masters. He will hate the one, either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or riches or money. That's what mammon is, riches. Everybody say serve.
Serve.
Now notice what he says. He didn't say you can't have money. He says you can't serve money. Some people have money and they are serving money. I mean, that money owns them. They don't own that money. That money owns their life. It owns their decisions. It owns their family. It owns everything they do. And they're just living for money. They're not just lusting after. They're not just loving it. They're serving it. They're serving the almighty dollar instead of the almighty God. And all their decisions are based on just how I can make more money. Are you with me? It's all about money. Money, money, money. Money, 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 money. You remember that song? Anyway, okay. But see, the problem with is that God doesn't want to share his love with anybody or anything. That's why loving money is the root of all evil. And he doesn't want you to share your service. He wants you to serve God. But if you love God, you can have all the money in the world. And if you're serving God, not money, you can have all the money in the world.
Amen.
Amen? And there again, you know, I juncture that with, it's an attitude. It is an absolute attitude. You know, money just doesn't have this doesn't grab me. It has no hooks in me, as it were. I know some people have different problems, and I'm not just touting me and saying I'm just great because, you know, I fight my battles like everybody else does. But battles are different with different people. I understand that. Some people have problems with certain sins and not a problem with other sins. That's why we don't look down our nose at people that, you know, because we've overcome something doesn't mean everybody else has. And just because we're okay in this area doesn't mean we're okay in every area. So we got no stones to throw. But money just never has had a pull on me. It's just never had. I remember when I was lost. Didn't he know God? I was playing poker with some friends and lost $7. And that's the last time I ever played poker again. I said, forget that. $7? I'm not losing $7. So I've never had a pull to gamble. You know, it's just never had a pull to pull the one-armed bandit. You know, in fact, we were preaching in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And then went from Jackson Hole, Wyoming to California. I preached in Redding, California, Red Bluff, California. And we drove all the kids. This is like 1988. Jonathan was like 2 years old, I think. Or was he about two? Is that right? Yeah, he's 2 years old. And in the middle of the night, we pulled in Reno, Nevada. And like, it was 12 o'clock. It was midnight. And we had to get a hotel. It was just so late because we'd gone from Jackson Hole all the way across, you know, Idaho and Utah. And there was no place. We finally found this Ramada Inn. And if you've ever been to Reno, Nevada, every single hotel has a casino downstairs. Every one of them. I don't care where you go. So I got all five kids. We're in our van. Jonathan's got his blanket. You know, it's midnight, and we have to walk through the casino to get to the elevator to get up. The only place we could find a room. That was the last room in town. We finally, so here we are, my whole, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, I hope one of my members aren't here. I hope one of somebody didn't see me as I get to the, so I get to the elevator, we go up there, and there on the bed is a chip. Free chip, you know, where you can go play, or a free token to go pull the one-armed bandit. And of course, Brenda says, hey, let's go try it out. And I said, no way. I'm telling on Brenda. I just don't even want to mess with it. I don't want to go there personally. You may say, well, it's not that big a deal. Well, you know, it may not be, but me, I don't want to do that. I just hadn't gone there. I'm not going there. It doesn't have a pull on me. I didn't feel like I went down there. I'd make a lot of money, or I probably would make $1 million. It'd be in the newspaper, and y'all ought to see the pastor. He's gambling. Look at him. He's gambling. But it just never has had a pull on me. And thank God, are you with me? I would just rather let it all go. I'd rather give it all away than for it to cause problems. I've even had those opportunities in the church where people have gotten upset about things that have actually left the church and so on and so forth, and upset about their money, and I've even offered to give them back their money. I've done that. I know you're writing this down in case you get mad and leave. You want yours back too. You know that's true. You know what I'm talking about. And Ron, you do too. Y'all both know what I'm talking about. It was a sizable amount of money, thousands of dollars. But I, you know what? Nothing's going to hold me. I got no hold on anything here. Are you with me? But then God's blessed us because our attitude's good. Our attitude's right about this thing. Amen? I'm not to see what I can get out of you. We've had people in the church that try to manipulate us with money. That's always going to happen. I mean, that's not, you're good people, but you know, anybody, any church, you'll have that in any church. And you've got to make a stand early as a leader that you're not going to be run by money. You're not going to be manipulated by it. It's not going to control you. You're not going to treat people with money different than people that don't have money. You can't do that. You got to keep your heart right. Because really, our blessing comes from God. And your giving doesn't, see, I know we're on an offering basis. I understand that. We've been on offering basis for 32 years. We don't take a salary. I mean, we do get a salary check, but it's based on what you give. You know, that box that says pastor and church. And so whatever goes to pastor goes to us. Whatever goes to church goes to church. Whatever's not marked goes to church. I don't touch it. Well, it's always been 32 years. And then we'll write us a check out of that account. Ron and Mo know exactly what I'm talking about. They're elders in the church. We've always done that, but I've never let that determine, you know, whether I'm going to make it or not, whether I'm going to believe God or not, because your giving doesn't determine my success.
Right.
My giving determines my success.
Yes. That's right.
Are you out there? It's really, and I thank you for all your offerings. Now, I'm not going to sound ungrateful, because I am, but I know that's God that's blessed me.
That's right.
Through your faithfulness, no question. But if I weren't faithful, that would dry up real quick. If I didn't give, that would dry up real quick. So it's not your giving it. It's not anybody else's giving either that blesses you. It's your giving that determines your prosperity. It's my giving. It's what I do. It's what I believe. It's not what everybody else believes. It's what I believe. It's what I do. It's my attitude. Woo. So I'm not going to serve money, and I'm not going to love money. I'm going to love God. I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to have all the money I want. Amen? Okay. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. Turn to Mark. Yeah. Mark, the 10th chapter. This is interesting because this is where a rich young ruler came to Jesus. And these are scriptures you've heard, you know, over and over, but in a negative light. And they're really not negative. They're very positive. If you keep your heart right and you serve God, you can have all the money in the world. But you don't serve money. You serve God. You know, well, so-and-so's got a lot of money. I wonder what he likes to hear me preach. I'll just preach on what I don't want to make him mad. He got a lot of money. Hello, that's serving money. That's not serving God. Ooh, hallelujah. Okay. This is a case where a rich young ruler came to Jesus, and you know, he said, what might I do that I might inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you keep the commandments. He said, yeah, I kept them from my youth and named them all off. And Jesus says, okay, one thing you lack, go sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. You have great riches in heaven. Now, there was nothing this guy could do to inherit eternal life. You can't do anything to inherit eternal life. So it's kind of the question was wrong, because the only way you can get saved and have life is accept Jesus. Amen? But evidently, his attitude was wrong, and it's the only one he ever told that to. He didn't tell that to anybody else, just told that one rich young ruler. So that one rich young ruler had a problem, obviously, with his finances. It had him. He didn't have it. Anything you can't let go has got you. Anything you can't give, if God told you to give it, it has a hold of you. Amen? And you can tell when your heart's right, if you're willing to let anything go, knowing God will bless you back. I mean, you know God will. Even in that rich young ruler's case, if he'd done that, he'd have got 100-fold. In that same chapter, he talked about no man has forsaken houses, homes, wives, children, lands that shall not receive 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. Eternal life. So the man would have got more back than he ever had if he'd have done that, but he couldn't let it go. Anyway, in light of that, it says, Mark 10:23, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of heaven? Stop. Don't go any further. Let's just close the doors right now. Everybody go home and shut the place down. Jesus said, if you have riches, it's hard to go to heaven. I'm glad I'm not through yet. I know where I'm going with this. Go on a little further. And the disciples were astonished at his words, like you were when I just said that, and you read that to have riches is hard to get in heaven if you have riches. Well, they hadn't heard that before. They were astonished when Jesus said it. Why would they be astonished if Jesus had been preaching that all the time? They were astonished because it sounded kind of strange to them. They were men of means. In fact, Peter and John had fishing boats, and Peter and Andrew, and so did James and John. They had servants that they left on the boat when they followed Jesus. So what in the world is Jesus saying if you have riches? Well, let's go a little further. They were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches See, he explained it. There's a difference between having and trusting. Well, if a man trusts riches, he's going to have a hard time in the kingdom, that's for sure. If you trust riches and you don't trust God. If you're facing money and your face not in God. So when we talk about prosperity, there's always want to watch your attitude. You don't want to love money, you don't want to serve money, and you don't want to trust money. But having money, not a problem. You ever heard anybody say, well, I know I don't have $1 million because God knows I couldn't handle it. Well, that's nothing to be proud of. In fact, that sounds like that's something you need to pray about. Are you out there? If you think you're not prospering because you can't handle it, then you need to kick that devil in the head. You need to say, wait a minute, I'm getting over that in the name of Jesus. Lord, call me Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. Bless me. I'm going to do the right thing with it. Lord, you give me money, I'm going to help people. I'm going to bless people. I'm going to reach out to people. I'm going to give it to the church. I'm going to give it to pastor. I'm going to put it all in the pastor's box and check pastor. I'm just kidding. Stay with me. Are you out there? I mean, stop. Deal with the attitude. Don't let that stop you from getting money, that idea, that mentality, that mental block in your head that you just can't handle it. Well, why can't you handle it? That's not good. That's bad. You need to pray about that. Wouldn't you like to give $1 million to the church? Two or three of you would. Wouldn't you like to help poor people? I would. Wouldn't you like to help somebody else buy their house? Wouldn't you like somebody else help them buy a car? Wouldn't you like to help somebody, a struggling and suffering family, get food and, you know, get a place to stay? Wouldn't you like to do that? See, we spend our lives just trying to get our house, trying to get our car, trying to get our food, and we never think about there's a world out there that has suffering people, young people, people struggling, people have been sucker punched, you know. Hard times happen to everybody. How would you like to be in a position to help somebody? Well, you got to prosper to do that. If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. If we're all poor, we can't help the poor. Isn't that right? And so the idea, well, if I just have beans on the table and I just have clothes on my back and roof over my head, I'll be happy. Lord, bless my four and no more. Or in my case, bless my seven, take us to heaven. You know? See how selfish that is? It sounds religious if you don't add to the end of that, bless my four and no more. Are you with me? Lord, just meet my needs and nobody else's. Lord, just take care of me and nobody else. See, we ought to be saying, Lord, help me help others. Lord, help me reach out to others. Lord, bless me so I can bless others. You see the difference? The attitude's wrong. It sounds religious. It sounds pious, but it's just a wrong attitude. It's not a biblical attitude. In fact, freely you've received, freely give is what Jesus said. He didn't say freely if you receive, just eat it all up on yourself. No, he said freely you receive, freely give. Now, when you do that, God's going to bless you. There's no question, because he blesses blessers and he gives seed to sowers. Amen. And he gives to givers. But we got to keep our attitude right. Here it says, how hard is it for them that trust, he reiterated, he explained it, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? It's easy for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me give you a little culture here to help you on this. In the walls of Jerusalem, they had little archways in the walls of Jerusalem. At night, they closed the gates. So if you got to the city after the gates were closed, you had to go in through that little archway. And if you had a camel, you'd have to unload everything on the camel and get him on his knees and push him through the archway. So you got to be willing to unload everything to get in. Amen. That's what he was talking about. So it's the eye of a needle. That's what they called those archways. They called them the eyes of the needle, eye of the needle. But not knowing the culture, and if you weren't raised a Jew, you wouldn't know that. Are you with me? And so that makes perfect sense. He wasn't saying it was impossible. He would say it was hard. It had to do with your heart. If you're not willing to let things go, yeah, you'll have a hard time serving God. Amen? So three things we can see here real quick about attitude. God wants your love. God wants your service. God wants your trust. Amen? Don't love money. Don't serve money. Don't trust money. Use it. In fact, I tell you what, make money serve you. Don't serve it. Make it serve you. Amen. Whatever your plans are, whatever your goals are, whatever your dreams are, make money serve you to do that. You want to serve God? Make money help you serve God. Use it for the kingdom. You want to help people? Make money help people. See, make money serve you. See, you're controlling this money. It's not control. Don't let it control you. Anybody ridden a horse? Funny thing about a horse, if you don't control the horse, as soon as you head out of that barn, that horse is going to turn around and go right back to the barn. Because that's where the feed is. That's where the shelter is. The horse is just going to turn around. And you go, nope, we're not going there. We're going this way. In other words, you need to ride this horse. Don't let this horse ride you. Amen? So you take control of this. And God gives us wisdom, and he gives us insight, and the Bible's filled with principles on how you can take control of your money instead of it controlling you. And that's some of those things that we mentioned: budgeting, borrowing, cosigning, investing, tithing. All these things are in the Bible. There's a lot in the Bible. In fact, 16 of the 38 parables Jesus spoke had something to do with money. 16 of the 38 parables. Think about it. And that scripture we always quote about heaven, you know, we're going to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That was the parable of the talents. He was saying that to a man that took money, invested it, and made money off his investments. So investing is biblical. Some people say it's gambling. Well, no, that investing is not gambling. Investing is biblical. Farming, that's gambling. Anyway. I said throw that out here. Farm, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay. Okay. Turn over to 1 Timothy real quick again, 6th chapter. Y'all getting something out of this?
Yeah.
We're just going to take our time with this. We're going to cover different subjects. Today we're talking about our attitude, talking about our heart. You get your heart right, put God first. See, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. You know what it says? And that's actually Matthew 6 where he's talking about money. He's talking about food and clothing, and he's talking about the things that the Gentiles seek. He says, your Father knows you have need of those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that good? So just, if you put first things first, God wants your love, he wants your service, he wants your trust. You do that, God will bless you with finances.
Bless God.
Amen? The richest man of the Bible, Solomon, the reason he got so rich is because his heart was right. God said, whatever you ask me, I will give it to you. And he says, well, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to rule these people. And God says, you know what? Because this was in your heart, because you asked for wisdom, and you didn't ask for finances, and you didn't ask for long life, and you didn't ask for the death of your enemies, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you finances like no one's ever had. And I'm going to give you riches and finances. I'm going to give you length of days. Why? Because his heart was right. We miss that point. God blessed him with finance because his heart was right. And he blessed him, I believe, very plainly through the wisdom that he gave him. If you and I need anything, it's not more money. It's more wisdom. It's not the amount of money. It's the management of the money. We need to have a come Jesus meeting. We need to get on our knees and we say, God, you got to help me here. I got to get a grip on this. Help me. Give me wisdom with my finances. Help me know where I need to quit spending. Help me budget. Lord, give me wisdom. And really, through wisdom, God will cause you to increase in finances. Elbows are going everywhere. I'm sitting here like, come on, were you missing? I miss it. It's been a budget problem. And it's been a wisdom problem. It's we spent money we shouldn't have spent, or we let our beatly lies take over, you know, and we bought something that we really shouldn't have. We put it on a payment plan because it's so easy. But then the problem with payment plans is there's payments. 1 Timothy 6, notice this. Now think about it. We just read the 10th verse, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some having coveted, lusted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through many sorrows. Erred from the faith. Their heart, not the money, but their heart. Notice what God says. Oh, wow. Uh-huh. In the 6th chapter, he's still talking now about the same thing. 1 Timothy 6, 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they give all the money away. No. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
Yeah.
What a strange thing to say. He was telling the rich people, there's nothing wrong with your riches, you just need to watch your heart. In fact, he talks about in the next verse, talks about giving to the poor and building a firm foundation, about being quick to give and quick to help people. He didn't say, just get rid of all your money, it's evil. No, he just said the root of all evil was the love of money. And he goes right on down the 17th verse and says, if you are rich, let me charge you, don't be high-minded with it and don't trust your riches. But trust God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy things, but he doesn't want things to control us. Amen, amen, amen. We got time for one more passage here. Turn to Deuteronomy 8. That, and I can't get to all these. There's so many scriptures I want to get to, just don't have time. Is helping anybody? Okay, what we're doing is just kicking over some sacred cows and knocking out some cobwebs in your head and your mind. Because I think that is kind of hanging in the back a lot of our heads as Christians, is that we shouldn't have too much money. You know, we don't want to get too much money. I think you ought to have all the money in the world. If you want to have millions of dollars, that's fine. Just make sure you tithe right here at this church when you do get that kind of money. No, but I mean, everybody ought to be a giver. You ought to be a helper. Why wouldn't you want to help more people? I think we need to take the stops off. We got stops on God. We got limits on God. He can't bless us any more than this. This is all we can have. No, take that off. God wants to bless you more. Why? Because your heart's right and you want to do the right thing. Why would he not want to bless you? You're going to help people with it. You're going to build churches with it. You're going to help missionaries around the world with it. Why would God not want to bless me? Why would I want my children poor? What possible benefit would that have for me to want my kids to not have anything, to not progress? I am proud of them when they make money. I'm proud of them when they work on jobs and get promotions. I'm excited for them when they improve their life. Now, if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more shall my Heavenly Father give good things to them that love him? How much more does God want us to prosper? And God want us to be on our feet and help people and bless people and get self-sufficient in that sense? How much more? Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. He's talking to the children of Israel. And this is the last book before they cross into the land of Canaan, the Jordan River. And God says in the 11th verse of the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, beware that you forget not the Lord your God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and you are full and you have lived in goodly houses and you have dwelt in them, he's telling them it's going to happen. And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, it's going to happen. You serve me, it's going to happen. Because that's what I do, is bless my people. I bless my children. But just beware when that does happen, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, beware now that your heart's not lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from that house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness. Don't forget. Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought you forth water out of the rock of flint. Remember when I met your needs when you couldn't have had them met any other way? Who fed you in the wilderness of manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble you. He humbled you by showing you that he was God, and no matter how bad it is, he could still take care of you. God doesn't humble you by taking everything away from you. God humbles you by meeting your need when no one else could have met the need. And he says that he might prove you and do you good at the latter end. God always has your best interest in mind. He wants to do you good at your latter end. Beware now that when you do prosper, that you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has got me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to you and to your fathers as it is this day. It is the covenant that you prosper. God has sworn to you, he'll bless you. You just don't want to forget when he does. He's the one that does it. God gives you power to get wealth, amen? He doesn't give you power to be poor. He gives you power to get wealth. So what you and I have to do is keep our hearts right, keep our eyes on Jesus. Three things that we can see real quickly, just a minute even. Three things you see real quickly. Love God, serve God, trust God. If you love God and serve God and trust God, you can have all the money in the world. Amen?